The number one question I see in these Facebook groups is, what's the best CRM? My CRM's not working. It's not doing what it should be. Well, it's not the CRM's fault. It's probably yours. You never implemented it correctly. You didn't build a process you can use. And you never got your team to adopt or to use it. And now they get on the doom loop. They buy a new CRM and expect different results. So how do you avoid wasting all this time and money? Well, first off, stay off Facebook groups because consider this source, okay? Get a professional, somebody that knows the products and can advise you for your business, and then get it implemented correctly. Contractors never pay somebody to come in and actually implement it. They fiddle around with it, waste all their time. So then I hear, oh, I don't have time to work on my business, the important things. I'm too busy screwing around trying to get my CRM figured out. So I've got Nick Perrette on today from Better Boss. He is going to talk about how to implement this software and what's new, what's going on, and we have a great conversation. So stick around.
Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time.
But before we get into it, I want to thank our sponsor, and that is Ruby. Ruby Receptionists. The number one complaint from homeowners looking for roofing services is contractors do not answer their phones. Well, Ruby solves this problem because they will answer your phone remotely. They answer it quickly with a friendly professional voice. If you're rolling these calls over into voicemail, you are losing a lot of business because these prospects, they're not going to leave a message. They're just going to go to the next contractor where they can speak to a live person because they've got questions and they want answers and they want them quickly. You spend a lot of money to get that phone to ring, and it's getting harder and harder to make it ring because leads are falling off. You've got to take advantage of every opportunity that you've got and stop wasting money. I've worked directly with Ruby for a number of years, and so have many of our contractors, and they convert calls into appointments. That's what it's all about. So check out Ruby at ruby.com/roofershow and start leaving that great first impression today. Nick Perrette, what is going on, man? It's been a while.
It's been too long. I am excited about this. It's Friday and I'm hanging out with my boy Dave.
So you got some new stuff going on. I want to hear all about it. And that's why I wanted to bring you on. We haven't talked in a while. So I say, rather than chat on the phone, let me have you on the show and see how you can help contractors. But let's just jump into it. So tell me, what's going on? What are you doing? Who you are? And why should our contractors care?
I am Nick Perrette, and I'm a man on a mission. All right. I just want to thank all the roofers out there. First off, you know, I've had a job in like 9 or 10 years, and it's thanks to you guys. So in return, I commit all of my efforts to making the best solutions possible for you guys to succeed. You know, I've been working with contractors, like I said, for almost a decade, and the entire time, I've always had a piece in terms of technology, software, and utilizing it for contractors, but I really wanted to take it to another level, right? And so that's why I started Better Boss. So we're a fractional CTO membership. And basically, we are hands-on discovering where there's opportunity, where there's bottlenecks, implementing the right software, training your team, all while you guys are hands-free, right? So it's one of those things where it's done for you. You know, we're giving contractors the systems to start winning more jobs, getting more profit, and finally getting a little bit of their peace of mind and time back.
I like it. Well, let's start off with, tell me what a CTO is, and not only a CTO, but what's a fractional CTO?
So, you know, when I started the marketing company, there were so many marketing companies that I could go look up online, people that I could call. and get advice for what that business model looks like, right? What success looks like, how to put a proposal together, you know, all these different things. And with Better Buzz, I knew this was a problem that I really, really wanted to solve. But when I was looking at the marketplace for models to kind of replicate, I couldn't really find it, right? So I kind of started doing some project stuff. But what happens is, you know, there's additional work or there's additional opportunities that contractors want to work with. So it's one of those things where you kind of become an ongoing asset. And so I was like, all right, well, how can I help them on an ongoing basis? And I was like, you know, what if I just handled all that, right? So when you're looking at the systems, the processes, and then the tech that supports that for scale, right? I'm there as a chief technology officer, right? And so fractional just means not full time, right? But it's one of those things where you're doing any kind of implementation, you're just so hands on with the team, the files, the process, that they really do get a lot out of it. And I think they see us as an extension of their team.
That's a great way to go, because the fractional portion, you can't afford to have somebody on staff. And this is why, you know, part of my business is called the Roofer CFO, and I do fractional CFO work, kind of the same idea. But you're doing what I understand is where I think the biggest problem the contractors have is on the implementation side, is that they just, you know, we probably know what we should do. Okay, we got this process, this and that, but implementation. CRMs, for example, and I know we're going to talk about that. But, you know, contractors are using maybe 10% of this, and you get, you know, just say Job Nimbus, for instance.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them to implement this thing, because I'll come in and say, okay, you know, let's take a look at your sales figures. Let's look at your close rate. What are you doing here and so forth? They have no idea. And I say, well, your CRM should be able to, you know, print that out in a second. You should know these numbers. Well, they don't, and they're really not sure how to use this thing. And, or they'll sit here and screw around with it and spend all their time, you know, with trying to figure this out. You should be out selling roofs, man, not doing this stuff. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're coming in, helping them implement all these things. Am I right?
100%. So my big thing is whenever I pay for a service, I want my time back. So that's one of my top priorities is if somebody hires me, I want it where I'm just working behind the scenes for them, right? We have a portal, everything that, so they can get updates. But the better I can be at not taking away their time, the better, right? So what I like to do is meet with key leadership, owners in the beginning, discovery, get access to all the tools, and then just start to analyze workflows, job files, you kind of name it, right? And then from there, meeting with key department heads, sales manager, et cetera. And then from there, it's just me doing my thing, right? Until we get to the point where it's looking at reviews, revisions, looking at implementation training, stuff like that. They're hands free, right? And when you're looking at building a CRM, I remember it's funny with my last company, I built out our CRM once we started getting a sales team and we had people make phone calls. And it took me forever. And so I was trying to run the business, manage my team, do all my day-to-day stuff, and try to build this thing out, right? And the best part about technology is there's always going to be something that's not working, right? So there's going to be a day where you spend 12 hours trying to troubleshoot one little thing,
right?
And you can't figure it out, right? That's just part of it, unfortunately. But what's key, though, is when owners, leaders share their vision, right? I've basically seen everything at this point, hundreds of softwares, every kind of different workflow, every size of contractor, I feel like at this point, where I've seen it all. And so when they tell me their vision, I'm going to figure out a way, right? Rather than be like, oh, this system can't do that. Well, we're going to figure out a way. Like, we're going to figure out, we're not going to make the technology, or you morph to the technology, right? We're going to morph the technology to your processes.
You go on these Facebook groups, the number one question is always, what's the best CRM? And I'm just going, shit. The best CRM is the one that works for you and the one that you're going to use. You know, you can use a pad and paper, you know, or a simple spreadsheet. if it works on some of these smaller companies, 100%. That's what they should be doing. Someone like yourself, which I think is a great service, which unfortunately, you know, contractors don't invest in that. They're not going to spend the money on that implementation, whether it's, you know, coaching or consulting or whatever. They don't see the value in that. But when you think about implementing just a CRM, for instance, and you're able to use that for the benefit of your business and have it customized and giving you the results that you need, I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars that it's going to make your business over time. And having someone that's been there and done it, really, I think, knows best practices. And what you've said, you know, you've seen how these things work for different companies because they're all different. But you can't say what's best. It's what's best for the particular business. And I think by having someone like yourself coming in and knowing that information first and able to implement it and get it done, and then these guys can go out and either run their business or go out and sell some roofs, you know, instead of screwing around with this because they're not good at it. They're not going to set it up. They can't understand it. As opposed to having somebody on staff, which most, you know, very few can afford it. This is the way I think to go. And I liked the model that you have.
I appreciate it. It was a work in progress, but I'm very happy with it. And I'm happy with the results, right? I mean, I'll share some wins. It's like I was telling you earlier. You know, we save somebody $7,000 a month by cutting an out-of-date software out and replacing it with something more modern, right? We increase someone's close rate from 19 to 42% with our sales process, right? I mean, my buddy out in LA, he was spending every single Monday taking the data from all these different softwares and creating a report. The entire Monday, every single week, he no longer has to do that. So I think that's 52 days a year. Right. So, you know what I mean? Like the impact is so drastic, right? I mean, you can look at average ticket size. I mean, people aren't pushing upgrades every time, right? They're not offering premium products, you know, I'm tiering it out where you could sell something maybe a little bit higher. You know, there's just these fundamental things. We were talking about the fundamentals. You know, it's fun being sexy, but the fundamentals, baby, all day, every day.
I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. Or fill in the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled and walk your customer through that 5-star experience and even get that 5-star review. SMA Support handles all the behind the scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine your roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA Support at smasupport.us. And tell them Dave sent you. Definitely. And that's what we talk about on the show is you got to get the basics down, build that foundation, and you're doing it consistently. You're doing it every day. And that's what really moves the needle. You know, it's a simple, you know, blocking and tackling is what wins games. So we talked about the process. Let's get into that a little bit because you help with that sales process as far as on the technology end. You know, This is great because everybody talks about the technology. Ah, I got a great tech stack and so forth. Well, it doesn't mean shit if you're not, you know, implementing.
And
if your team is not implementing, that's the problem with CRMs is that
nobody's using
the idea. Nobody's using it. Nobody's implementing it. And whoever is managing these guys is not getting that information in. So let's start off because we talked about, you know, we got a lead, we can do some estimating, you've got that tied in, and let's just go through your process a little bit, how you set this up, and how our contractors can improve their process.
So for me, everything is getting templates built out. It doesn't matter if it's communication, emails, SMS, task templates, right? Everything should just be templated out, right? That is going to be crucial, right? So if you're looking at a lead coming in, right? Whoever's going to assign that to the sales rep, whatever, right? But when you get that sales rep to go out there and do that inspection, that first appointment, the ideal situation is to have your roof report done, have those measurements already go to a pre-built out proposal template, right? That is well designed, tells your story. Boom, looks money. You stand out, right? Looks superb. And then from there, that template's going to have three different tiers, right? Your good, better, best. And then brand them. So think of something that goes well with your company name and story. Make them look nice. Productize them. Simplify the buying decision for the homeowner. Because I don't know what the hell this roof is. You know what I mean? You're selling me these services. I don't even know what the hell they are. Wrap them up. Make them look pretty. Make it simple for me to understand. So now that proposal is already built out. You can do that within 4 or 5 minutes, right? Because you have those measurement calculations, which is going to calculate the quantity for all your line items. So now you already have that good to go. So now when I get to the homeowner's house, I already did my inspection, everything like that.
And we already got this built out before we even get there. So we understand
exactly
the way we're going to present. We know how big the roof is. We know if we got to ask if, you know, hey, is this garage included or this or that? We get all that information. And we already have that before. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, ask those questions. Make sure you do have that prior to, right? So have, you know, usually there's somebody who's working in the office that's going to take whatever information that they need to up front, right? And then they're going to schedule out the appointment. And when they schedule out the appointment on the calendar, they'll assign their sales rep. And then from there, it'll automatically move over to the next stage based off of you scheduling that appointment, which will be initial appointment. And so then this is where it's in the sales rep's hands, and they're doing that process of getting their presentation ready to go, building out their, or get ordering their roof report and getting their estimate ready, and then heading out to the house.
Yeah, you're going to sell more jobs and you're going to sell them at a higher price.
Yes.
You know, by 100%. Doing this, you're differentiating. Well, first off, you're just showing up to the job, which is, you already knocked out half your
competition. You won there.
By picking up the phone.
Exactly. Communication.
Yep.
But you know, it's funny, and we're talking about you're going to sell an average ticket size is going to go up, but I was just interviewing somebody that's smarter than me, and they told me the proper way to actually do it is present the most expensive premium package first and then take away. Right? I was doing the good, better, best, start with the premium and then take away. Is what he told me. So we'll see. I mean, I'll be testing it out. So I'll keep you posting on that. But I've heard good things. So once I get to the homeowner, now I have like an interactive presentation, right? Based off of what they press, they have a different experience. So once it gets to the point, this is where I kind of let them kind of add to cart, right? Where it's going to be like, oh, okay, so you want this system and then you want these upgrades? Okay, let's pick out your shingle color. Right. And I kind of go through that process and make it engaging, fun, and just unique in comparison to most contractors that they're going to meet with. And so once they're good there, I'm going to ask them about financing. I've been pushing a lot of financing, sometimes even when it's insurance, trying to say, hey, I'm a roofer. I'm not an insurance man. Right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to offer you guys financing if you guys are interested and open to it. Right. What's going to happen is once you figure out the insurance, you're going to get that lump sum and then you can just pay a small monthly fee and get whatever system you really want, right? Because I know you said you wanted that Supreme system with these upgrades, but the financing, you're only looking at $475 a month.
You can sell more jobs if you offer.
Oh, yeah.
100%. You got to now because you've got... You know, sticker shock. People, you know, they have no idea what a roof costs, and
expensive.
They're looking at something. Oh, you know, I got a quote two, three years ago, and we're talking about a whole new, you know, deal here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about not offering finance for a vehicle. I mean, it's almost the same price nowadays.
Right. Right. Well, you don't even talk about the price. You know, I mean, they're talking about, you know, okay, you know, what kind of payments can you afford and so forth. And it's just geared that way because we can get you a new roof. We can, you know, improve your house, stop, you know, all of these things. And yeah, you need to offer financing. What I like about this is you know, it builds in your process. Okay. Your step by step, as you say. And this is where, that's what's necessary, because people say, you know, I'm not very good at selling. How do I sell? Well, you sell by just doing the basics. It's a step by step, asking the right questions. It's nothing complicated. And here's your options. These are the things that you can do. And here's your financing, and just laying it out for them.
100%. And, you know, I say fractional CTO, but it's so heavy on the operation side, though. Right. What do you really think about the technology just supports the processes and the operations. Right. And so for me, it's like I'm looking at, you know, this puzzle of thousands of pieces, and I'm trying to put them all together so everything just fits perfectly. Right. And it's a fun thing to do, but it's just so crucial when you're looking at scaling the company, hiring people, onboarding, right? Like having the same exact rinse and repeat customer experience. Right. Over and over and over again, like you have to get this stuff figured out, right? And so, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's fun though.
Putting together your SOPs, standard operating procedures, doing it the same every time, and you know, I call it the franchise model. You know, like McDonald's. You bring in a new person. Hey, here's the book. This is how you build your burger. Okay. It's the same thing every time. Burger, you know, pits go here. And you're not reinventing the wheel when you're bringing on new people. And there's something that I see, you know, most of the time is one, they're not sure who they're looking for, so they hire the wrong person. But training them, you know, rather than just saying, this is how we do it. Here's the video, here's the book, you know, whatever it is, this is how you do it every time. And we all do it that way. I don't care if you're doing it this way from another company and this and that. You know, this is how we do it. And having all that listed out, laid out for you. And I do a lot of business planning, you know, and the important thing about business planning is going through the process of planning as much as the plan, because when you're thinking about all these things, well, what can go wrong? You know, what's the best way for our company? Having somebody like yourself that's been there and done it can say, well, you know, what a lot of companies do is this or that. And that really helps, but it's going to get your people up much faster. And it's going to be so much easier on the owner, the contractor. And that's
why life is easier.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, man. I mean, is making it simple and making it repeatable.
I wanted to share this exercise too, because this is what I use AI, I use recordings for everything, right? I mean, I have it set up where as soon as I'm done with the meeting, AI shoots that right into our customer portal and then starts to write out all the meeting agenda items and call, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm all about it. But for the workflows, right, it gets so nitty gritty. And then you're looking at like, oh, I got repair, I got retail, I got insurance. All right. So if this happens, this person has to do this, this, this. All right. Then we have to notify this person of this, this, this. Then we have to schedule this, this, this. And then we have to do this. And then this person scheduled this. Then we're going to hand it off to this. Right. And so what I like to do is for like an hour, basically, is just hit record. Doesn't matter if you and your team are in the same room, just hit record. I've done that before with people just coming over here or via Zoom, and just start from the very beginning of the process. All right. So who's responsible for what here? All right. What tasks we have to get accomplished here? All right. What emails, what text message we have to send here? Who needs a notification? All right. All that kind of stuff. And then what you do is then you just take that transcript, right? You give it to ChatGPT, right? So I use Monica. You got to check out Monica. Monica is fire. You got to check out. Because it's got it all and built into one. But it will take that transcript and then it'll map out your entire workflow, right? And then it'll also mind map it, right? So it's like this stage, this happens, this is assignee, blah, blah, blah. Now you have the skeleton, right? And that's going to be kind of your playbook or your Bible to work off of as you're going through the process.
I do the same thing. Similar thing is that take my AA notes. So if I'm meeting with a contractor and we're talking about something, we all have ADHD, you know, as
oh yeah, you
know, entrepreneurs
all over the place.
So I'm all over the place. I stutter, you know, this and that. I should never be in podcasting, frankly.
Yeah, you're the OG. It's an honor. The Godfather.
Just been doing this forever. And anyway.
I love it.
So you, by using AI, it can organize, you know, and that's what I need to do is organize my thoughts. It organizes everything. And because I'm all about, you know, step-by-step action plan. Mm-hmm. Who's going to do it? When are you going to do it by? What's the result going to look like? And how are we going to implement and hold accountable? So, you know, and that's what sounds like what you're doing, which is so important. And that's the real hold in keeping contractors back. They can't get out of that because they're always all over the place and they can't implement. It's implementation, I think, is everything here.
Is everything.
Itself. I mean, that's what you.
I'll tell you this on the implementation, even if I am there, a big piece of our success is always going to be the attitude of the owners and leaders.
Yeah.
If they're stressed, if they're overwhelmed, if they're pissed about every session we have to do here and there, whatever it might be, then I get the same attitude from everybody. But mm-hmm. if they're excited, if they really pitch the vision of what it could do for the team, making their life easier and making them more money, more successful, make, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that they're part of it too, right? Like their input counts, you know? Then everything goes a lot smoother.
Yeah, that's what leadership is, building a culture that everybody can follow. And if you have that, you're going to get everybody rowing in the same direction. And you've got to have that. You're right about attitude, because you got to get your mind right in this business.
Amen.
It's tough. And we talked about just, you know, kind of moving along. Okay, we've done our job. We're in the process of doing our job, let's say, because, you know, we got our three-legged stool. We've got to sell work, do work, and keep score. And all three of those legs have to be strong and solid. So now we've got our sales process down. So we're great at that. We're closing deals. We're upselling, getting good prices, getting good close rates. So I got the job. Now we're going to implement it. And we were talking about job cost. And mm-hmm. this is something that I know you do that I'm always harping on because it's so important, where you've got to start off, you've got to have a budget, you know, so here's your estimate. Well, what actually happened? You know, here's your actual. So it's kind of like a postmortem, you know, is taking a step back. What went right? What went wrong? How do we improve the next one? And contractors don't do that, and they don't, you know, say, oh yeah, that's a great job. Yeah. Well, how do you know, man? You know,
you have no idea.
Yeah, I'm making all this money, but I don't have any money in the bank. I don't have any cash. What's going on? Well, you're not making any money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just don't know it. Do you see that? And what do you do for it?
I think that's probably the biggest one, right? I mean, it's the one that nobody wants to spend time on for some reason. I don't know if it's because it's intimidating. Or I think that's why, because it is intimidating, right? I mean, especially if you're doing well at a revenue standpoint, you don't want to pull up and look and be like, oh, maybe we're not doing it as good as I thought. But if you want to have the most success you can possible, you need to know those numbers, and you need to live and die by those numbers. You need to make all those decisions by those numbers. And so I think, like, in any of the tools that I see that people are successful with the job costing is, it starts with an estimate, right? And this estimate has line items, material, labor, et cetera. And everything is done from that. So if you're doing a material order, if you're doing a work order, right? If you're doing invoicing, you're doing whatever, everything comes from that one centralized budget or estimate, right? And so now when you're looking at the data, this correlation, it's much easier to keep that up to date as you're ordering and et cetera, et cetera. You should be having job costs per job, right? And if you set it up right, it does take some time in the front end, right, to integrate your suppliers, to integrate, you know, all your labor and crews and all that kind of stuff. But once you get it done, it's going to do a lot of that work for you now, once it's set up properly. So then you don't have to worry about it. and you can make better business decisions.
What I see is everybody wants to scale their business. Okay. You know, and the first thing that I do when I work with a contractor, you know, what's your why? Why are you doing this? You know, what is it that you want to achieve? Well, I want to be the biggest guy in town so I can beat my chest and, you know, look like I'm not.
Basically, right? Ego.
This. Yeah. It's all about ego rather than, well, what about making money? You know, oh, I got to do that too. You know, mm-hmm. And the idea of scaling that top line, here's an example, you know, what we're talking about where that falls apart, for instance, on the job costing. Okay. Now you're growing your business, but we're not building that foundation first. So if you're not job costing your jobs and you don't know what the hell's going on, even though you think you do, oh, that's my gut feel. No, it's, you don't know, and you've got to know those numbers. And, you know, we came from, my business was primarily commercial. So we're dealing with larger jobs. And the important thing there is that we're going through a project. Let's say we're halfway through it, but we've already used 80% of our labor. Oh, time out. We got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, now there's something we can do about it, perhaps. But once it's over, it's over. And this is what the numbers are all about. You can track these as you're going. You can make adjustments as you need to. And that's why job costing is so important. You need to know, like you say.
Maybe the biggest job, thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. This is, you know, are we making money or not? Because you add all those up, you know, and, you know, you're going to win some, lose some, perhaps, you know, some of the jobs, you know, God, just let me out of this thing.
Yeah.
But no, you need to know that. Yeah. And just knowing your numbers, that's what we always talk about on the, you know, is knowing your numbers. This is what it means. Are we really making money on this? Or are we just not charging enough? Or, you know, I had a guy, I don't know, couldn't measure the roof, right? Whatever. But as we're going through, he's like 10% off on his labor on most of these jobs. I mean, materials. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell are you doing? So if I didn't see that on job costing, I wouldn't have been able to make that adjustment. So we were able to make an adjustment. We're talking a lot of money.
A lot of money.
That comes down to the bottom line. We're not talking about top line sales all the time. We're talking about how do we make
the ego.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for you. I got to ask you now.
Sure.
So obviously you got the commercial experience. Let's say I'm like a residential guy. I want to get more into commercial. Like, would you consider like a good idea to almost do a practice building, pick a building and start to build out estimates as like a practice to figure out how to actually budget on something like that? Or like, what do you think's, you know what I mean? Rather than taking $1 million project and just taking a beating on it right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, when we're losing money on jobs, we call that practice, you know, and we don't want to.
True.
We don't want to do that because it's expensive. Everybody wants to get into commercial. Why? Again, oh, the jobs are bigger. Well, are they more profitable? Because you're tying up, you know, and this is where it comes to having large jobs where guys, I say, you know, you're out of your lane here. You know, you're trying to take on a big project that you don't really have the experience and you're going to drop your shorts to get it. And so your price is already screwed up. Now you've tied up your assets, your people, everything on this one job.
Exactly.
And it's just dragging out.
All your resources. I mean,
you're rolling the dice, man. And if that thing goes south, it's going to take your business down. And unless you really know what you're doing and have this dialed in, but this is why we have to have this foundation first. So now we're going to start doing larger jobs, for instance. Okay, great. Are they more profitable? Because at the end of the day, you can do, you know, I say you can hit singles and doubles, or you can go for the fences and hope that one of these jobs plays out. But if it doesn't, I'd rather just go, hey, you know, boom, 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 boom.
I'm boring.
You know,
I'm boring.
Yeah. Business should be boring. You know, if you're doing it right, it's pretty boring. You know,
but what about something like your profit margin or your waste percentages? Do you have any advice on that?
Well, your profit margins have to be based on your budget and has to be based on your cost. So now, and this is why we say, you know what, I'm going to take this business to the next level. What the hell does that really mean? Well, the next mm-hmm. level is if we're going to get in a commercial now, we're talking about making a larger investment, for instance, and, you know, we got to have some bigger equipment. We got to have more insurance. We've got to have more. So it doesn't really go in a straight line. It goes in steps. So now we're making this commitment. So now we've got a whole new break-even cost. And based on our costs, we've got to start with our overhead. What's our overhead? What's it going to cost to turn the lights on every day? And then we have to make a certain gross profit based on these sales. And that's budgeting and having that budget. But, you know,
that's,
if you
money
get into this thing and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to lose your ass really fast and go out of business just as fast with, you know, even faster in commercial as you do with residential. There's a lot of guys that lose a lot of money. And scaling your business before you're ready, that's where a big problem comes, because you don't grow your business to make profit. You make profit so you can grow your business and you can build it on a strong foundation. And that's how we make money as we're going. But this idea of 20X in my build, you know, hey, sells books, sells seminars, all this sounds great, you know, and that's, I guess I should be doing that, because nobody wants to talk about basic, you know, foundational things, because it's boring.
But it's the key. I mean, just even like the budget alone, I mean, it's such a big takeaway when we're talking about, you know, getting into commercial, what that looks like to the budget. You know, I interviewed this, it was Legacy Dex Academy. So he coaches deck builders, right? Mm-hmm. And he was working with a husband, wife who wanted to have their own showroom. So what he did is he put the cost of the showroom in the budget before they're even paying for it. And guess what? They got the showroom.
Yeah. And if you can afford it, it's like hiring, whether it's an additional salesperson or additional person in the office. And this is where you start building this overhead too fast. You're throwing costs because you're looking at things, it'd be nice if we had this. And that's where contractors start, you know, when they're booming, you know, and this is a boom and bust business. We've been kicking ass for a long time, and most contractors have never seen a downturn, but it's ugly and it will come at some point. And when things are good, we tend to throw bodies, you know, and that's your big money, your big overhead, as opposed to outsourcing out to someone like yourself or, you know, getting some of these things done. But hiring employees, they underestimate, one is the cost, but just as important is the amount of screwing around that you're going to have. You got a new personality that's trying to fit into this culture.
Oh, so, yeah.
This is the problem with sales. I want to get a salesman because I want to increase my sales. Well, if you're selling the work, you're selling $2 million, you bring on this new guy, if you're going to get him up and producing, which is not going to happen immediately, you're going to spend a lot of time coaching him, getting him up. So your sales now have just gone down because you're spending all this time rather than out selling. So you've got to really be careful. And this is why getting these guys up and running is so important, you know, and having the SOPs as we're talking about. Having this thing dialed in before you go have a bunch of hires, because it'll kill you. And you have to understand what that's doing to your cost structure. It's increasing your break-even cost. So now we either have to go sell an additional $1 million or $500,000, or we've got to get another few, we've got to charge more money. We've got to get another few points on our jobs.
About these, like, insurance markets where they boom and they got to produce like crazy, and all of a sudden they're doing 20, 25, 30 million. You know, what advice do you have for those situations where all of a sudden, you know, that's going to take a mega dive on the finance side? I've always been curious about that.
My advice is don't do that.
Yeah.
When you look at these guys, you know, you hear about these companies that have scaled their business and so forth. And a lot of them aren't around after that because you're right. If it's a seasonal business, you got this big boom and then you got, you know, nothing. And how do you handle that big increase? You can't gear up fast enough. And it's, you got the sales, but then again, the three-legged stool, but you can't get the work done profitably. You're screwed and customers are pissed off and you're not getting jobs done and you're throwing B and C teams out there to do the work. It's all about hitting those margins. So if you can keep your margin, let's say I want to have a 40% gross profit margin. If you can keep 40% and still grow your business, that's great. I call this a no-scale zone, which everybody hates because it's not scaling so much. It's growing your business because we have to have good growth in our business.
Yeah.
That's controlled growth. Like I say, you've got to be profitable before you can grow because that's that foundation. And then you can start growing. We've got our SOPs. We've got our technology. We've everything in place because we did it when we were small. We tweaked it. You've come in. We've got this dialed in. Now we can throw some gasoline on the fire and let's kick this thing up. But we've got to hold our margins. So I don't know.
Those are some of my favorite customers, actually, is the ones that are a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to make the investment. And they went all in on it. And then they just kept working with me. And I'm just like, wow, just like that foundation they're going to have. Mm-hmm. And so, like, how far ahead of the game they are in comparison to most companies who are a little bit younger. That's exciting. I love that. But
Make an investment before you go buy a freaking boat or something.
Exactly. Like, do you know the money's getting blown otherwise anyways? You know what I mean? You might as well pay me to go sit back there and do all the dirty work for you. Let's be real. Nobody else wants to do it.
I'll tell you, you know, and it's not going to happen otherwise.
I did have to ask you another quick thing on that, though. So,
whose show is this? You know, I've been on your podcast.
But now I'm trying to pick.
I love it.
I'm trying to pick your brain now, though, over here a little bit. Figured it's been a while. Last question. Then I want to talk about AI. No, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So if you were in Colorado, then are you telling me you wouldn't do insurance work then, or what? Like, if you were in an insurance market, or would you do it, but you just do it differently?
I would try to build out a retail business also. I know, you know, Randy Brothers and so forth. He was on the show a while back and, you know, we talked about that is if you can, you know, insurance is tough, man. In Colorado, you know, there was what, 2, 3, 4 years. You didn't have a storm.
Nothing. People were dying.
You're dying. So if you can build out your retail business and you're dialed in with that, you've got your brand, you've got everything set up the way that you should, you know, that's a more predictable model. All you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that make a lot of money in the storm business. If you know what you're doing and granted, I'm no expert when it comes to storm, you know, the storm business. I'm out here in California, tell you all about what happens when buildings burn down and so forth, but you're still have the same basics, you know, the same foundation. So you're ready when those storms hit, you can jump on them and you can handle the work and so forth. And that's how, you know, successful contractors do it. But if you're up there in a storm market, you better figure out how to do it because some of these areas, nobody buys a retail roof because they know they're going to get, you know, going to be replaced by the insurance company. So it can be difficult. You got to understand your market and demographics, you know, but
that's why I'm interested in seeing it. If you could pull that off in Colorado, you find it, you use financing and try to remove yourself from the insurance process. So we'll be testing the waters there. So I'll be getting back with you, but.
Yeah, well, what, you know, I mean, the whole insurance thing is changing so fast. I mean, they're getting pretty tired of paying for roofs. So you're either going to have these huge deductibles, you know, your coverage is going to be reduced where it doesn't really make sense, you know, to make a claim. So then you're back in the retail market. And I've got a guy I work with, Brian Huff. He's been on the show. And he's up there in Colorado, runs a kick-ass business and he does storm work, God, yeah. He's got his process down. He's got his financing down, you know, so they can get these things done. And he's not sitting there waiting 3-6 months to get his cash, because this is the other problem. But storm work, how do you fund this? You better have a lot of, you better have a lot of cash.
Mm-hmm. AR. It helps with the AR problem too, if you do the financing.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't like AR. I don't like AR.
No, you don't want to have that. And you better be tracking that. Look at your aging. You better have an aging, you know, 30, 60, 90, because if you're out 60 days, you know, you got a good chance of not getting paid. But 90 days, they're saying, yeah, I'm never going to have to really pay this thing. So screw it. So it's not good. Let's talk about AI. You wanted to get
into that. Let's talk about AI. So it's funny. Before I jumped on here, literally the whole morning I was working on this. So I don't have a whole lot here, but it's promising. So I was working on my first AI sales agent, calling outbound sales agent. So I think I named her Brie or Bella or something like that. You get to, you know, make your voice, set up the prompts, what to say. You fill it up with PDFs of knowledge base of scripts, information about your company, all that kind of stuff. And you give it your booking link or whatever. For a contract, it'd be a different situation, right? It could be a booking link, but they book appointments for you. Mm-hmm. And they stop. They have, you know, it's not monotone. It goes up and down, right? There's a little bit of a personality in the voice. So, you know, but by the end of the day, I might have that thing up and running, but it sounds promising. I mean, mm-hmm. that is, because for me, I'm always thinking, you know, when people talk about leads, they're talking about different marketing strategies. I'm talking about business development, right? How can you have your own inside sales team, something that is constantly working for you? So that's going to be really interesting. You can do the same thing with chatbots too, right? So people talk all the time, hey, my team asked me way too many questions, or maybe I need to build out SOPs. I need to build out scripts. I need to build out all this kind of stuff, right? You can make your own bot that is your little helper, that is just on the side of the browser of all your employees, could read the website they're on, has access to all the major SOPs, documents, PDFs, etc., right? Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. Incredible. I'll just tell you this. I mean, for the last 2 years, I probably spent 5,000 hours on AI, legitimately. And I think I was just so blown away from the very beginning.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is the biggest thing since, I don't know, the internet, right? I mean, it's absurd. Like, my first project I took on, I had to write like 1,000 pages of JavaScript. I'm gonna be honest, I've not really coded that much in my life. But with the help of like 8 different bots going at once, I did it and mm-hmm. it worked.
Yeah, things are really changing. A lot of guys would say, hey, nobody wants to talk to, you know, AI and this and that. Now, people want to get they want to solve their problems. That's what they want to do. And if you can do that with AI, which, you know, is exactly, I think, what you're talking about. It's solving problems. That's the way it's going to go. And mm-hmm. particularly as you have younger people coming up, they don't want to talk to a human. They talk to AI because I'm going to get my answer. I'm going to get my problems solved. And that's all that anybody cares about. So I think that's great. I mean, keep at it. And it's not easy. It's complicated.
I want people to check this thing out. I was telling you about, but check it out. Go to monica.im. Check it out. It's like $25 a month. And it's got every kind of AI capability in one, right? So it can make images, videos, audio. It can search the internet. It has all ChatGPT. It has every single thing in it, right? And I it has these power-ups, right? So basically, I have it set up where it's just a little circle. I click it. Let's say I'm on a LinkedIn profile page or a Facebook page of a prospect. I press that. It researches it, finds every single thing to talk about, what's going on in their life, helps me script a message, and it's done for you like that, right? I do a video, do a different button. It's going to write an SEO optimized landing page for the entire content by pressing a button. So it's like once you get that stuff set up, the exponential speed you can go is just, it's absurd.
Getting this implemented and getting things set up, as you say. Yeah, it's moving so fast. Most people aren't going to understand this. So hiring someone like Nick is going to be a great solution. We're going to be able to keep up with these things, use technology the way it's supposed to be used, but otherwise stop freaking getting involved with these automations and so forth that you have no understanding of.
No. Hey, I did the hundreds of all-nighters behind the computer because you got to when you're doing these things. It's like sprints. You got to do like 12-hour sprints. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything done so that you don't have to.
All right. Well, Nick, let's wrap it up. How do we get in touch?
I just love the roofers. I can't help myself, man. It's something about that roofing community, right? You just can't get out of it.
No getting out. It's like the mob.
No getting out of it, man. I love it. I just brought my wife into it too. So she's joining the team too. She's going to be our CXO, customer experience officer. So best way to get a hold of us, you go to betterboss.io. On there, we have a podcast. So Construction Tech Talk, you can check it out there. We have some free resources, downloads. You can also book a discovery call. So if you want to book a free discovery call, hang out in Zoom for an hour, talk shop. Please do. Love to meet you. But also check us out on Facebook, YouTube. Follow along. Hit subscribe. We really appreciate it.
Nick, it's always great. Not make it so long next time. I love talking with you. You're on top of all this stuff. I think you got a great service and everybody should check it out. So let's keep in touch. Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you've ever thought about getting a mentor, having somebody that's been there and done it, that can help guide you along, keep you on the path, hold you accountable to meeting your goals, get in touch with me. That's what I'm doing now. You can go to my website at theroofershow.com, go to the contact page, hit the big button, and set a time. We'll talk on the phone, see what's happening, and see if I can help you. We'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.